great song, but it's much better to live that way than just to know the song. Victory in Jesus. Over the last couple weeks, we've been talking about these fightings we have within us. That verse 1, 2, and 3. And then the enemies without, the world, the flesh, and the devil. And I want to read all those verses, but I'm going to concentrate tonight on verse 7 down. The Bible says, "From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust that war in your members? You lust and have not, you kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight and war, and yet you have not because you ask not, and you ask and receive not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lusts. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? And whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do you think the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble." Now if you just stop right there and you think about all the things that Paul said, you'd think to myself, what is the hope or what is the potential of our victory? In verse number 7 he says, submit yourselves, but he says, therefore. And he says, because of all that's said in verses 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6, therefore, amen, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted, and mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning, your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. Now, I'm going to take a few minutes here and just rehearse in our minds. James was writing to these believers scattered abroad about the troubles that we face in this world, some within and some without. And they are real problems that we face. They're real troubles. They're real struggles. And as a result of that, there has to be a real solution to those troubles. And of course, we know that the solution and the way to overcome them is in Jesus Christ. He is the answer to all of our problems. And tonight, I just want to take a little bit of time and hopefully impart to your heart and mind some encouragement today. Of how to have victory. God knows that we're going to have trouble. God knows that we're going to have these fightings within and these fightings without from the world and the devil. And then the flesh within and that uncontrollable desires that we face, as he says in John, the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh and the pride of life. We know today that if you've tried to live the Christian life at all, you're in a constant battle. You're in a constant struggle to do what is right whenever evil is always present with you. The Apostle Paul wrote about that in Romans chapter 7, and he said, "The things that I would not," he said, "those are the things that I find myself doing, and the things that I would," he said, "those are the things I don't find myself doing." He said, "And I find this law that when I would do good, evil is present with me." Every time I set out to do something good, I find myself maybe doing it in the wrong spirit or the wrong motive, or find myself doing wrong. And so it's a battle. And therefore, he says, let's walk in the Spirit and we'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. In Romans chapter 13, the last verse, he says, "Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." And so James, of course, rehearsing to these believers how to have victory. And you know, the Bible is consistent from front to back. Do y'all believe that? And so the way to victory is to walk in Christ, to walk with God. I just got done reading the book of Genesis, and it was amazing how it rehearsed in my ears one more time. And Enoch walked with God. Noah walked with God. Abraham walked with God. Joseph walked with God. Over and over, you find men who walked with God. So the most important thing that you need to understand today is your walk with God. There is nothing more important than your walk with God. So I'd ask you, first of all, are you walking with the Lord? Are you walking with the Lord? Are you walking hand in hand daily with the Lord? You know, this is something that needs to be a determination in our mind and a desire of our heart, is to walk with the Lord. The second thing is, not only are you walking with the Lord, but how is your walk? You know, sometimes our walk can be good, have good days, and then there seems like there's times whenever there's things that come up through the day, or maybe at the beginning or at the end, you know, sometime through the day, that maybe gets us a little out of our walk with the Lord, I guess is the best way to say it. And so James, talking to these believers, said, listen, there is fightings within. That old flesh isn't going to give up. That spirit in us lusteth to evil all the time. There is never a desire of the flesh that is good. Paul said this, that in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. The world is never the friend of God. The world is not getting friendlier to God. In fact, they're getting more hostile towards God in our day and age, it appears to me. Amen. It appears, I saw where there's, especially if you are watching a little bit of TV, you'll find out that Hollywood is all up in arms tonight over the abortion law, thank God, that of the heartbeat, then there can be no abortion under just a couple circumstances. And so Hollywood has agreed that they are going to boycott and ruin the state of Alabama and such like things. Our state, I hope, will follow suit and take a stand against the killing of unborn children, amen, for just any cause. And so so the world is hostile. The world is very hostile towards right. They're hostile towards moral values. And a lot of that is their hate towards God. We're going to do everything against God because we're just that spirit about us. And then, of course, we know the devil has no interest in God. He is the enemy of God, always has been, always will be. And there is nothing in the devil that desires the goodness and the grace of God. Now, in the midst of all of this, God said, but he gives more grace. And so there is sufficient grace for you to live the Christian life in the midst of this wicked, perverse, ungodly world. God has grace for you. What a wonderful thought that is. So how is it that you can have and I can have victory? Well, he lists it in verse number 7. We've read it. You've read it many times. This will be nothing new. Just a reminder. Number 1, submit to God. Submit to God. That word submit means to arrange under, to be subordinate, to subject, to put in subjection, to subject oneself, to obey, to submit one's control, to yield to one's admonition or advice. Submit to God. There is no victory in this world apart from our submission to God. You say, well, how do I know what God wants me to do? It's right here. Amen. Right here in the Bible. Amen. Everything that God wants you to do, how do you submit to God's lordship in your life? He is Lord, amen. Sometimes we'll say Lord and Savior. That word Lord means master, controller, that one who ought to be in control of our life. I saw on the ministry connection page that I listen or watch every once in a while, or read every once in a while, somebody put, can you explain the difference between, I think it was being filled with the Spirit and walking in the Spirit. I didn't comment, but I wanted to put on there, read your Bible, and you'll find out that they go hand in hand. You'll never walk in the Spirit until you're filled with the Spirit, and you'll never be filled with the Spirit until you desire to walk in the Spirit. And so the Bible is what teaches us. The Bible what gives us the instruction on how to walk with God, on how to submit to God. How, by the way, all of these things that he tells us has to start on our side, has to start with us. It is a personal decision to submit to God. You know, the Bible gives us, Jesus gives us plenty of illustrations of people in the Bible, in the Gospels. Let me start that over. Jesus gives us plenty of examples in the Gospels of people who made a willful decision to submit to Him. And He gives us plenty of examples in the New Testament, in the Gospels, of those who refused to submit to Him. Remember, He tells the one, take up your bed and walk. Now, the submission was, take up your bed and walk. So the man picked up his bed. It's amazing, ain't it? Because he was a crippled man. He had kept his bed for all those years. But the command was, take up your bed and walk. Now, he had to submit to God and to the authority of God's Word. And you and I, today, we must submit willfully to the Word of God, the authority of this book. Our bylaws say that the Bible is the sole authority of our faith and practice. Well, hopefully that's true. Amen. Hopefully that's not just written to take up some space in our bylaws, but hopefully today the Bible is the sole authority of our faith and practice. We simply believe and practice what it says. And so James says the first thing to overcoming these fightings within the world, the devil, the flesh, is you must submit to God. There is no victory in you rebelling or me rebelling against what God wants us to do according to the Scripture. Doesn't the Bible say that the commandments of God are not grievous? Doesn't the Bible tell us that God gives us strength? We read that this morning. God strengthens us to do the things. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. There is nothing in this book that would hurt you if you did it. Y'all believe that? God never wrote anything in here to harm you. God never wrote anything in here to hurt you. All that God wrote in this book was to help you to be all that you can be for Him, and so that you can live a prosperous life down here on this earth. And so He says, submit yourselves. So this is an act of your will. This is something you have to do willingly. God doesn't say, all right, grab you by the hair of the head or by the back of the neck and say, listen, you're going to do what I tell you to do. No, that's not God. Man has a free will. Okay? Man has a free will. A sovereign God made man with a free will. I said a sovereign God made man with a free will. And you can, as a Christian, choose to rebel and not do what God tells you. You can choose not to submit, or you can choose to submit. Love one another. Now you'd think that'd be the easiest commandment until you met the other. Amen? Amen? Love one. Man, I got that down, but that other is somebody else. You ever run into people and you think, how could your mother even love you? Amen? Now, if you're not laughing, you're probably that person. Amen? But I like that hearty one. But there's some people, and yet God, you say, well, how can I love that person? Well, the Bible says God's love has been shed abroad in your heart. You may not be able to love them on your own, but through Christ you can love them. I mean, God asks you to, God commands us to do some things in the Bible, and you just look at them and you think, I don't understand how I'm going to do that. In your own strength, you may not be able to, but through Him you can. So you need to submit to God. The second thing He says, if you're going to overcome this world, and if you're going to overcome the flesh, and if you're going to overcome the devil, then you're going to have to resist the devil. Now listen, ladies and gentlemen, we've got way too many Christians that's playing around with the devil rather than resisting the devil. And the devil is nobody to play around with. The Bible says, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now, if you would, hold your hand right there and turn over to John's Gospel, chapter number 10. And I want to read you a verse of Scripture. And it's a commentary on this word, the devil will flee from you. It's on that word flee, okay? The word resist means to stand against, and we'll go over to Ephesians here just in a minute. The word flee means to run away. It's because of inspiring fear or danger. In John chapter 10 and verse number 5, the Bible says, speaking of the sheep and the hearing the voice of the shepherd, he says this, "And a stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him." Now, I know that we're not many in this room shepherds, but the sheep back then would be so familiar with the shepherd's voice that when a stranger would call them out of fear for him, they would run. And the Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. The same thought is right there. And when the devil, when you resist the devil, he gets full of fear and the fear of danger from you. Now, isn't that something? Because you know what we've been trained to think in our mind? Is that we ought to be afraid of the devil. And rightfully so, we ought not to think in any power of our own we can do anything to the devil. But isn't it good to know that the devil is afraid of us whenever we resist him in the power of Jesus Christ? Man, he gets to shaking and trembling and flees away. Hey, I'm telling you something tonight, ladies and gentlemen. The devil will run from you if you resist him. Now, in in Ephesians chapter number 6, we understand this truth a little more vivid is printed out for us. The word resist means to stand against, to oppose, to set oneself against, to withstand. And Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, we read that great passage from the Apostle Paul on spiritual warfare and how to be clothed in the armor of God. And we're going to read it tonight in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Now that leaves us out and puts God in control. He said, put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Resist. Stand against. And by the way, might I just insert here, we need some people standing against the devil today. And he said in verse number 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand. You stand against. Now, don't stand in your own might. Don't stand in your own ability. I read through the book of Acts about those boys that called over that devil. You read that? The seven sons of Sceva or Sceva, ever how you say his name, and the devil said, Jesus I know and Paul I know, I don't know you boys. And the Bible said he leaped on them. This man possessed with this devil leaped on them and whooped the tar out of them and stripped them of their clothes and they ran away naked. Now let me tell you, there's seven of them. You'd have thought after he got the best of the two or three, the others would have cowered out and went on, amen. I'll give them credit. They stayed until the end. But they didn't win. And in our own ability, we are no match for the devil. In John's gospel, the Bible says, listen, the Bible says, for he that is in us is greater than he that is in the world. There is a power within you, the Holy Spirit of God, who lives inside of you, who gives you unlimited power to resist the devil. And so God said, you submit to me and you resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Have you ever thought about yourself and sin and how so many times sin is just like right there and you're not in it yet, but boy, you're close. And there's that just that little space of decision or time between do I do this or do I not do this? Yeah, can I get a witness there from somebody? Six of us have been there. Good. All right, when the rest of you get saved, you'll get there too. Okay? We've all been there. We're right at that point where we, I mean, I know if I do it, it's wrong. And it's that, just that little space. I mean, it's just... Boy, so many people slip right out. You know why they do that? Because they didn't resist. They just didn't say no. I was telling Brother Joey, I don't know if you know this, but Brother Joey's lost a lot of weight. I'm proud of him, amen. And he started a little bit after I did. And I ask him, I don't know if I ask him every week, but I try to encourage him. And I'm glad about it, Joe. Keep it going, amen. And so I asked him today, I said, how's the weight going? He said, pretty good. He said, how's yours? I said, well, I said, boy, these last 2 weeks, man, I'll tell you what, I just got out of that eating habit. And you know, I was sitting there the other day, and I've made a commitment that my belly ain't going to be my God. And I've tried to discipline myself, but boy, I'll tell you what, that choice between something good, this is the honest truth. I went down there to hospital, usually don't have good food. Telling you what, ladies and gentlemen, they bought some chocolate chip cookies about that big around, bake them, and they're half done and half not done. Son, I'm telling you what, you'll OD on them things. $1.30 a piece. I said, let me see how much I got. I ate one. Oh, man, I'm telling you what, that hooked me. So the next day at lunch, I thought, you know, if I skipped supper, I could have another one of them. So I didn't buy one. But boy, that last day my mom was in the hospital. Maybe it wasn't that. Yeah, it was that last day Yvette was with me. I thought, man, I'm getting one more of them. I ain't going to come up here no more. Amen. I don't know anybody else in town that can make them like. I'm telling you what, they are good. And I was sitting there thinking, you know, every time I'd walk by that tray, Wednesday, Thursday, because I ate there once on Wednesday, once on Thursday, or twice on Thursday, Friday, and then Saturday at noon. And every day I'd walk by there. They even had them for breakfast. I'm thinking, oh man, this is too good. Amen. Every day I'd walk by there. And my belly would say, sure wish we had one of them cookies. I'm saying, yeah, I wish we did too. Amen. I mean, it's just, you ever notice it's just one, just a little space between doing and not doing. Yeah, it's all this. It's just one nod of the, you know what, I asked this lady up here one day, I said, she was back behind the counter there, and I said, hey, are them like just made? She goes, she's bigger than I am, bigger rounder as I am, amen, or bigger than I was. And she goes, they're good, ain't they? I said, oh man, they are good. She goes, I got some fresh ones, they're warm in there, you want me to get you one? I go, uh-huh, amen. She goes, I'll tell you what, I'll get one in the very back. They're the warmest. Oh, I hope that gal gets saved. Amen. Just one choice. You think, oh, preacher, you know what's the big deal about just one of those little cookies? By the end of the week, there was three of them. You know what's sad just about one little give in to sin? Is it never stops it? We think, well, that didn't hurt me. I told Brother Joy in 2 weeks I gained 4 pounds. Good night. So tomorrow morning, Lord help us. I'm on it today. I'm back to discipline my body. My belly's growling, saying, hey, we need food. I said, you fat thing, shut up. Amen. Good night. You ain't hungry. I was telling there's this nurse girl that came over to the house. She's about this tall, about this big around. And we was talking about being on a diet. And she goes, you know, I gave up soda and lost quite a bit of weight, and then I made it up with food. And I said, well, just think, sister. I said, whenever there's a famine, me and you will make it past them skinny people. She goes, boy, that's a good way to look at it. Amen. You skinny people be dead. We'll be getting your stuff. Amen. We got... Isn't it amazing how quickly we submit to sin? I mean, it's just that little window, and the devil presents us with something, or the flesh does, or the world does, and do we listen to it, and do we do it, or do we say no? You know, I can tell my body no. My body, it ain't in control. My body say, hey, let's give 3 more of them cookies. I'm thinking, that's good. No, we ain't doing that. And you know what? It never does say, well, fine, I ain't going to ask for another one. No, later on it does something. Eight peaches. It doesn't say, hey, we don't like them peaches. I like peaches. Amen. You see what I'm saying? See, he says, you got to submit to God. But at the same time, you have to be willing to resist the devil. Let me give you some examples, maybe in the Bible. You know, David was submitted to God. But he didn't say no to the devil. When he saw Bathsheba, you know what David should have done? David should have instantly went down into the house. You know what he did? Sat there and looked. Sat there and stared. Got all excited. Said, hey, come here. Send a little messenger over there and see if she wants to come over and fellowship. I doubt that was what was on his mind, according to the text. On the other hand, here's Daniel. And who would have known? Daniel's mom and dad were dead. He was in a foreign land. And he had the potential of being, at that point right there, of being something great in the kingdom. Little did he know that he would be greater by doing what he did. And all there was presented was wine and all the vast unclean meats of Egypt, or of Babylon. And you know what he said? I'm not eating that. I'm not defiling myself. Man, don't you know that bacon smelt good? Yeah. And pork chops. And all that other clean meat, catfish. All laid out there. And Daniel had a belly just like us, and his belly and his eyes probably thought, well, it sure looks good. I bet that tastes good. And everybody else was chowing down there saying, man, Daniel, you're missing it, buddy. You are missing it. Missing it. And Daniel said, you know what? I want water and pulse. I think what pulse means grass. I'm really not sure what it means, but I think that's what it means. Something. Doesn't sound good. Amen? Sounds like maybe something. But he was that close, and he made a decision to be right. David was this close and made a decision to be wrong. One resisted the devil, and the other one didn't. Think about Joseph, who went into Potiphar's house there, and Mrs. Potiphar, who could have probably covered up the affair, and he was that close. And he said no. And he fled from idolatry, and he fled from fornication. On the other hand, you think of how many people in the Bible was that close, and they gave in. And they sin. So the Bible says, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. You can resist him. The devil brings some temptation to your... Hold your hand. No, don't hold your hand where you're at. Go over in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Let's just be reminded of this scripture. Because sometimes we get in our heads, well, you know, temptation's too much for me. And no, don't get yourself in a place where temptation is too much for you. Amen? Don't get in a place where it's too much for you. Now, when the devil brings it to you unaware, God makes this wonderful promise of escape. Now, look in chapter 10, 1 Corinthians 10 and verse number 12. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall. God said, don't you get full of pride. You better understand you are one step from falling. Right? You know, ladies and gentlemen, a year ago, 2 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, there were probably people sitting in this church that thought, nope, never happened to me. But their one choice, just one instant. So here's what he said. Verse 13, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you or allow you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. Now God makes it clear, every temptation is the same to every person. All right? It's just common. Temptation is common. Temptation of the world, temptation of the flesh, temptation of the devil, it's all common. But God is faithful, who will not let you be tempted above what you are able to be able to bear it. Tempted, be tested. God will not give you a temptation that will overwhelm you. He will not. I said, God will not give any temptation or allow any temptation, let me put it that way, that will overwhelm you. He is bound by His word always to do what's best for you. And God will never give you a temptation that you are not able to get away from, to flee from. Everybody has them vices. The Bible says in Hebrews, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us. I don't know what your vice is that you struggle with, but everybody has one of those in their life. All right? Everybody has something in their life that they're struggling to overcome. But you know, God has made it possible for you to overcome sin. The Bible says in Romans, I think it's chapter 6, sin shall not have dominion over you. God has made you in such a manner with the power of the Holy Spirit to overcome all evil that comes your way. Y'all believe that? Y'all like, I don't know about that, preacher. Now come on. I'll tell you what. No, God's made you able with the power of the Holy Spirit. You say, then how come I sin? Because you want to. Yeah. I had an incident this week. I've had a neighbor. Oh, he's been there for a long time. Him and my dad got into it. Just as soon as he moved in, he's a case. So, probably 10 years ago, I went up along where our road comes up, long lane there. And that side is his place. So the old fence there, the power company came through there and cut down the trees. Well, they tore up the fence, but they didn't put the fence up. So he started doing a bunch of things on, anyway. So I put up the fence. So he came down once, putting up the fence one day, and he said, hey, you can't put that fence up. I said, well, you go talk to that neighbor and that neighbor. And I said, we own the road. We put the fence up. You on that side. All right. Well, fence stayed up. So I was driving up the lane the other day, and that sorry rascal cut that fence. And son, I'm telling you what, I went from 1 to 45,000 in about 3 seconds. I skipped all them other numbers right in between. And I'm telling you what, I got some mad. And I thought, you character. That ain't really what I thought. But that's what I was thinking. And so I was headed to town when I saw that and got all the way to town. Boy, I tell you the matter I got. So I got home, I just called the sheriff. I said, you come out here. There's going to be trouble. So he came out, and he's a real nice fella, and he said, well, Tim, he said, I'll tell you what. He said, I showed him the fence, and I said, now he owns from there that way, and I don't want him on my road. I said, now you go down there and tell him, or I will. He said, now let me tell you something. Just calm down. And you know how you get when you get mad. I mean, all reason goes out your head. All right? They say when a man's blood pressure, whatever, gets to heartbeats, whatever it is, that a man loses absolute any ability to think logically. I think it's over 85, and that's true. Man, you get red in the face, and I mean, you can't even hardly talk. And he said, I believe the man cut your fence. He said, but we have no proof of it. I said, proof? I said, it's cut. And I said, not only is it cut, he wound it up back here so he could get through. I said, didn't cut on its own. He said, I know. He said, I'll tell you what, I'm going to document all this. I said, well, I'm going to fix the fence. And I said, now if he cuts that again, I said, I'll go down there. No, don't you go down there. He said, I'll document this. You fix the fence. He said, get you some purple paint. Paint it. That's universal. Stay off of my place. He said, and if it does, he said, I'll take him to Carlinville. That's the county jail. I said, okay. Boy, the more I was fixing that fence, the madder I got. I thought, I hope that creep comes down here. But he never did, and I'm glad he didn't. But you know, sometimes God, you get in those situations, and before you know it, you're just out of control. And I don't care who it is. I don't care what he does on his place. Just stay off of mine. Amen? And I'm telling you, the devil will bring, and I got to thinking about that verse. Now, God knew I was going to see that fence cut. And God knew that character cut it. And let him. If I was God, I'd have whacked him. Amen? Cut his fence. But God didn't do that. You know what? I ain't the only guy that's ever had my fence cut. I'm not the only guy that's ever had a sorry neighbor. But listen. Listen. How I handled it was not how everybody else handles it that makes a difference. It's how I was that close. I had to make a decision. So I did what I thought was right. I called the sheriff. I told him what happened. And I just told him. I said, I don't care what the guy does. Just tell him to stay off the road. He's not using it. He said, okay. I went back. Every day I sat on the porch and I watched. I thought, you sorry character. You just even come down there. You even come down to your fence row. I'll call the sheriff on you. I just wanted something to happen. Amen. I wouldn't even go to Carlinville. Boy, I tell you, we can get ourselves in a heap of trouble. A heap of trouble. That close. So what are you going to do? Resist the devil? Or are you just going to take matters into your own hands and sin? I remember whenever David, that great man of God, man, he had been through such troubles and problems and difficulties on the run from Saul. He had kept Naboth's sheep and their shepherds from getting hurt from the enemy. And one day he sends over there and he says to Nabal, we just need a little bit of victuals for the journey. And Nabal said, I don't know who David is. I don't know David nothing. And I'm telling you, it ticked David off. David had put up with Saul, but you know, they're just that breaking point. And David said, I'll tell you what, everybody get your sword on. We're going over there and we're going to kill them all. That seemed kind of extreme, didn't it? Just because he didn't give you a sheep. No, I'll tell you what, David was at the breaking point. Now, he didn't have to do that, but he did it. I'm telling you, all them soldiers, and they go, what's wrong, David, what's wrong? I'll tell you what's wrong. That lazy, sorry, no good Nabal wouldn't even give us food, and we kept his sheep. I'll tell you what, we're killing them all. Well, yeah, man, we ain't never seen David worked up like this. Boy, let's go. Giddy up, boy. I mean, they is headed that way. And out came Abigail. She got down and she said, David, I'm really sorry. My husband is about like one of them worthless guys. I don't know how he got her, but probably in a trade or something. Well, had to be. Amen. And she said, I'll make it right. I don't want this to be a blot on your name later on in life. Boy, that's a good person, isn't it? I don't want this to be a blot in your life, David. And David settled down. He said, boy, Boy, that's good. 10 days later, God killed Nabal. David didn't have to worry about him. But he went over and took his wife. Hey, I like you. I don't know if he should have, because there he had one, but he took her. You know what? She never had a son that rebelled like some of David's other wives did. She's a lady of character. I'm telling you what, sometimes you're just that close. God said, you submit to me. Now listen, now close out here. You can't submit and not resist. And you can't resist without submitting. They go hand in hand. You say, well, preacher, I'll tell you what, sometimes, you know, the place that I'm at in my life, sometimes them desires get better than me. Then get out of that place. Don't put yourself in that place where you're there again. Say, I just don't ever want to drink again. Well, then don't get around those that drink. I don't ever want to go on a spending spree again. Then don't go there. Tear up them credit cards. I tell you what, preacher, I'll tell you I'm so full, I don't ever want to eat again. Then don't go to the buffet. That's not your friend, amen? Yeah, but the other costs so much. I tell you what, preacher, I don't want to give in to the lustful desires. Then don't be alone with somebody. Amen? I said amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you for the day. Your blessings. Lord, so many times we just get so worked up. And we get overwhelmed instead of simply submitting to you and resisting the evil that's about us. Lord, I know tonight I tried to convey that message, how close we get. And it's just one step. David said there's just one step between me and death. But God, really, there's just one step between us and failure. Lord, tonight I pray, help us to stand fast. First of all, Lord, help us to submit to you, to the Word, to the Holy Spirit's leading, and whatever temptation we face, that God will be able to bear it to the glory of God. Give us the Spirit and the liberty to walk in victory. In Christ we pray. Amen. All right. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, Miss Rosemary's going to play a hymn of invitation for us.